Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you, and we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Gentry Estes from the Tennessee, and does a great job covering all things Middle Tennessee sports. Gentry, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you guys. Good rant there, Robbie. I agreed with everything you said there.
Thank you.
Nah,
this is a big problem.
Nice ranting.
We're going to find it. That's two rants in a row I feel pretty good about. I'm running out of them, so got to get back after it.
Got to keep them coming.
That's right.
Rant, not Stanley Steamer.
No, please no. Yes. So, Gentry, we've got a lot to get to you here on the show with today. We'll start with the A.J. Brown situation. Stephon Diggs signing another deal this morning, a huge contract at wide receiver. We've seen Devontae Adams. We've seen Tyreek Hill. We've seen Christian Kirk, the money that the Jaguars threw him. What do you make of the wide receiver market right now in the NFL, and what do you make of what it could look like for A.J. Brown as the Titans move forward here?
I mean, obviously, I think, you know, it's going to be really expensive to keep him. I think you kind of knew that, and it's just getting more and more so. I guess for the longest time after quarterback, you would see edge rusher, maybe left tackle, some other positions that were the most well paid, and I think wide receiver is starting to take that next spot, which is kind of an indication of what's happened with pro football and how important those passing games are. But it's also that important to have a receiver that good, which the Titans do, and you see all this in the last week. You know, at some point last week, you kept seeing this about the Jets and A.J. Brown, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do a very deep dive into exactly where this is coming from. You know, who was the first person who really said that this was even remotely possible, that this should even be discussed at this point? And to be honest, I never really found anything. You know, there was an ESPN reporter in New York who wrote that the Jets are keeping an eye on A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf because of the contract situations, obviously, but that really didn't tell me anything. They should be keeping an eye on these things. Every GM should, right? So it was just one of those things that kind of took off in the modern media climate of social media and aggregation, where, you know, things just get momentum because they're talked about, not because there was ever much to it.
Yeah, and then it's like you have to confirm that something isn't happening that no one actually said was happening.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, that's how it goes, right?
Right.
So, Gentry, your coworker Ben Arthur is on the quarterback train on his latest mock draft, I notice. And actually, I mean, I'm thinking more about it just because, I mean, it's probably attainable, you know. And obviously, if there's someone they love, then maybe this would make sense. But what do you think about that? I think we're both sub 15% that the Titans would actually do this. Or have you come around at all to thinking that maybe it's a little bit more likely than maybe you thought a few weeks ago?
I kind of always thought it was. Ever since, I guess, it was around the combine where John Robinson got asked about the possibility and didn't shoot it down at all. I think it was TD, Teron, who asked, and I think Robinson's response was, hey, that's a good question. Talking about evaluating the quarterbacks in this draft, and, you know, you can't always read too much into some of these answers, but that I heard that as, no, that isn't a far-fetched possibility that they might do that, especially with where they're picking and the way this draft sets up. There are some drafts where you might see four or five quarterbacks go before it's the Titans' turn, but I'm not sure this is going to be one of those drafts. There might be a guy like a Desmond Ridder that they really like who could fall to them at 26, and I think Ben even had him trading down. So if that happens and you get a guy like that who played at Cincinnati for a friend of Mike Vrabel, I mean, there are reasons to think they could be interested in Desmond Ridder in particular, but a quarterback in that spot, yeah.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Gentry, big win for the Preds last night, 6-2 against Minnesota. What do you make of the way that they're playing right now and the spot they're in coming down the stretch, 13 games left as they make their push for the playoffs?
Yeah, that was a it was an entertaining game. I swear the thing took like 5 hours.
Took forever. All the
fights and penalty. But it was a statement kind of performance, I thought, by the Preds, because there are ways to play that team that are a lot more effective than coming in and trying to fight him and push him around. That doesn't really work so well with the Preds. And I think if it is those two in the playoffs, I kind of like Nashville's chances a little better against a very good team in Minnesota, but they just seem that they seem to play well against them. And I think it's the kind of thing that you come in and there's three fights in the first 11 minutes and it's very physical and lots of penalties and lots of special teams. And I think it was a sign that teams aren't going to come into Bridgestone and win games that way. The Preds are not that kind of team anymore. And for them to get a win like they got last night, I mean, it's obviously important in the standings, but I think it just said something about why this team, and I've said this before, why this team is going to be a difficult out in the playoffs, because they play a game that I think would work well over a 7-game series.
Yeah, I agree. Gentry, you and I were both there at Hawkins Field this weekend, taking in a pretty eye-opening performance overall from Tennessee. What are your takeaways? First of all, do you believe that this is the best team in college baseball? I mean, I think everything would point to that at this point. But also the whole bat thing. Mike Honcho crushed one yesterday, by the way, in Knoxville. Uh-huh. What's your takeaway from all of that? And just, I don't know. Do you feel like we need to have some changes in the way they go about these things?
Some more transparency would be nice, because I think a lot of people didn't really know. And it's kind of murky how they do this, and I think everybody kind of had some questions about how these bats are checked. I still do. But I will say, in the case of Beck last night, he said that he did not hit that home run with the bat that he got taken from him on Friday. He said he was still using the bat that he used the rest of the series at Vandy, which I don't know, for whatever that's worth. But I think that, that's definitely the best team in college baseball right now. And I think when you see how they performed over the course of that series, they sweat Vandy because of their pitchers a lot more than their hitters. And it's a little bit similar to Vanderbilt's team last year with Rocker and Leiter, where you just kind of knew, okay, it's going to be almost impossible for a team to be able to handle those two in a super regional or a regional, and that's going to give Vandy a chance to really play for the whole thing. And I think in Tennessee's case, with the pitching they have, Blade Tidwell was back last night, so that they look truly scary when you combine how they're hitting with those arms.
Gentry, on the flip side, where does Vanderbilt go from here? Obviously, I mean, we know what Tim Corbin and this program is and what they can do, but they have lost, five out of nine SEC games at this point. What do you make of where they're at and where they go from here as they try to rebound from getting swept against Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, that was a punch in the gut this weekend for sure for that program, I think, to come in and get swept like that, and then not only to get swept, but none of those three games were really that close. And it had to do with, again, Tennessee's pitching, but the fact that Vanderbilt didn't really get a lot going hitting-wise. And to me, it was a bit of a continuation maybe from the end of last season, which, as good as Vanderbilt was, and you mentioned those two pitchers, they would go through some real droughts at the plate, and it happened in Omaha, and they almost won a title anyway, but, they weren't always the kind of team that you could rely on to really do a lot offensively on every single night. And, there was some of that in that series this weekend, where I think they only scored in three of the 27 innings. And you just, you were some couple of solo home runs and stolen bases, but there were just never any rallies. They never really put it on someone, chased a pitcher, showed an offense that could change a game and take over a game. And if they don't have that, they have good pitching, very good pitching, but it's not as good as it was a year ago, at least not at this point. And so it's tough to look at Vandy and see a reason to be scared of them like you you would at Tennessee right now. And a lot of that has to do with the starting pitching, I think, even though Vanderbilt's got some good arms. I mean, this is a good team. And this we're talking about, we're sitting here in early April, and they could definitely put it together by the time the postseason rolls around, and they usually do. So I wouldn't bet against it. But at this point, Tennessee was pretty clearly ahead.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and our guest here on Robbie and Rextro. Gentry, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. Gentry Estes, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll react to what Gentry had to say there. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. MLB opening day is here, and right now all customers can swing for the fences with a no-sweat same-game parlay on FanDuel Sportsbook. Just pick any MLB game and combine at least three bets. You can pick the winner, the first home run hitter, and the total score, whatever you want to do, into one bet for bigger payouts. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will refund you up to $10 in free bets. I've got my eye on the Dodgers this year. Freddie Freeman going over from the Braves to the Dodgers. The Dodgers are stacked. I'd pick them to win most games, but you can take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on the FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Head on over to FanDuel or download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code ROB to bet your no-sweat same-game parlay today. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9600. 789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Gentry Estes for joining us in the last segment. We've got The Choice Is Yours coming up at 8:45. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair today. Looking forward to that later this hour at 8:45.
Red Ripping on Fools? Is that... Little Red Ripping on Fools? I like it.
Oh, it's awesome. I got some tickets to give away to see the Sounds take on the Durham Bulls coming up this Sunday at First Horizon Park. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a four-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on the Durham Bulls coming up this Sunday at First Horizon Park. You can watch me throw out the first pitch, too. Worth the price of admission by itself.
And we're going with the one, or we're going to, you know.
I may try to do a little knuckle curve action.
We got a knuckle curve?
I got the knuckle curve.
Okay.
Are you standing on the mound?
If they let me, yeah.
I stepped about 2 feet forward.
Most people do. Very few people actually stand on the mound.
I was on the mound last time.
Yeah.
So if they'll let me do it again, I mean, if it's been raining or something, they probably won't. But if they let me do it, I'll do it.
All right.
I think I'll probably go number one. Just chuck it in there. Throw my arm out on the mound.
Number one instead of number two?
Yes. Lots of great references today here on the program.
Really good. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Beavis and Butthead. Yes. It's not our fault. Keith, it's your fault.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. LD from McMinnville texting in said, if the Titans are going to draft a quarterback, I hope they draft Bo Whitley from Minnesota State. Cannot say that I'm overly familiar with Bo Whitley from Minnesota State.
I mean, this is a reference to Coach, right?
I guess.
I think that is. I think that's right. I didn't really watch the show Coach a ton, which is kind of weird because it's basically based on Hayden Fry. Yeah. But yes, good call. Nice job. I got you. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
That was mid-90s. I haven't seen that one.
See, the thing is, when that show came out, it was Minnesota State, which did not exist. You know, they were Minnesota. But now I believe Mankato State became Minnesota State. I think that's correct. So now you could actually make a reference like that, and people could think that you're, Minnesota State University at Mankato, see?
So I mean, that one went so far over my head, it was bad.
I like it, LD. Keep bringing those 90s references, buddy. Michelle got some kudos for picking Johansson and picked a click.
Yeah.
Big night for Ryan Johansson 3 points.
Night. Nice hattie for Johansson last night. Love how Michelle's like, I should get 3 points.
Has anybody ever picked a player to get a hat trick?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's happened.
Not before my time.
Philip Forsberg.
Yeah, oh. I think Forsberg got this one this year when he was picked. Yeah. Yes.
You guys have great memories.
I mean, if Forsberg or Duchesne, has Duchesne had a hat trick this year?
I don't remember.
I thought he did.
He may have.
I thought he did. But obviously, if either of those guys had them, then we know that it's happened because they get
picked. Give me the
date
and the time. I need the receipts, Rexrod.
I recorded it. I'll send it to you. I'll send you the audio.
Yeah, you're like, let me record it like it's like TiVo or something.
Right.
Just go to Spotify.
Like we don't already record our show. Yeah.
If you missed it earlier this morning, Stephon Diggs getting a new deal from the Buffalo Bills. Now, Adam Schefter is reporting it as 4 years, $104 million, $70 million guaranteed. They're reporting it on NFL Network as 4 years, $96 million. So I don't know if there's like one party is factoring in bonuses and the other one's not. I don't know what's going on there, but yet another case where Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter are not on the same page. That's always interesting.
That's very annoying. And, you know, if it's – because agents always want you to say it's a contract worth up to, right? So, obviously, it makes the agent look better.
Sure.
So, agents want you to say contract worth up to and include the incentives, which is absolutely not what you should do. That's not what the deal is. Yeah. A lot of deals have incentives. Great. So, if player hits incentives and later it goes to this, but that's not what the deal is. So, I would tend to believe Rappaport. Then again, Rappaport with Buffalo and Antonio Brown, I don't know. It's just annoying. Like, get on the same page. So I assume this is like an agent saying one thing, which probably is the higher number, the club saying the other thing. Figure it out. And, you know, why don't you guys just work together from now on?
Yes.
By the way, you see Schefter's getting $9 million, got a new deal, $9 million a year.
Hey, good for him.
Good for him. You know, being an NFL newsbreaker pays well.
Did Ian Rappaport break that one?
Actually, I think it was our Richard Deitch at The Athletic who broke that.
Ooh,
thank you.
Very nice. Good for him.
Yeah, but and I mean, now, like, but seriously, like, get together on the deal.
Derrick Henry's out for the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I got to say, in recent developments, Rappaport has been beating Schefter. So if it is 96, again, if the 70 guaranteed is agreed upon, then that's the number that actually matters. But if it is 96... that takes it down to $24 million a year.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like, this deal, to me, is not a, whoa, A.J. Brown. This is actually a deal that makes sense. This is where you would expect the market to be, in my opinion.
Well, I agree. I just, you can't hurt A.J. Brown at this point. I mean, look, he's going to make it. Gentry's right. He's going to make a ton of money. And I think we knew that heading into the offseason. Now, I will say, when we first, before the offseason happened, we were having this conversation about A.J. Brown of, all right, well, he's going to be eligible for a contract extension. What's that number going to look like? And we were talking $17, $18, $19 million a year, somewhere in that neighborhood. And then Davante Adams signed his deal, and Tyreek Hill signed his deal. Now Stephon Diggs has signed his deal, and the market has just changed. I mean, he's going to be in the 20s somewhere with A.J. Brown. So it's already been a pretty good offseason for him anyway, just with the way the receiver market has jumped up. But I got to say, if you're John Robinson today, maybe he saw this coming the whole time with the receiver market. But the market for wide receivers has changed pretty dramatically this offseason.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, this is where it's going. I mean, it really is. Like, it's going to be amazing 10 years from now to look at, like, the difference in what receivers make compared to what running backs make.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I need to find – actually, I need to – that would be a really interesting study is the – like one of those cool charts over time, you know, as you see those two lines cross each other. Yeah. Because it used to be that running backs absolutely made more, the top running backs in the NFL.
Yeah.
Not close now. And it's going – it's just going to keep getting more and more. Maybe to your point, the Deebo Samuels will really break the bank.
But how many of those guys are out there? Yeah.
One, I'm sure. Well, what I'm sure we'll see is some other teams try it.
Yeah,
but you can't find too many guys who can do that. Interestingly enough, I actually think A.J. Brown could be really good as a running back. I mean, he's so good after the catch, so tough to bring down once he gets a little bit going downhill a little bit.
No, it's going to be fascinating. I'm interested too. Like, as cyclical as the NFL is. Like, does the running back position ever get back to the point where it starts to be valued more? I mean, we talked about it with the draft. I mean, you could go contract-wise,
draft position wise, really any way you want to take it, outside of like Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry, that position is pretty devalued right now. I wonder, does it ever swing back around where running backs start to be valued more around the league again? I don't see it happening anytime soon.
I mean, you still are going to have the occasional running back, I think, go real high in the draft because they're just incredible players. But yeah, you go back in the day, you know, Tomlinson 5 overall, AP or AD 7 overall. Where did McCaffrey go? McCaffrey went pretty high, didn't he?
I know Saquon Barkley did.
Saquon Barkley went very high. Yeah, I mean, when you feel like you have home run hitters, you know, when Reggie Bush, number 2 overall, but again, you're going back 16 years.
McCaffrey was 8th overall.
Yeah. I mean, you're gonna have those, I think, still here and there when they're ridiculously good players. But again, I think more than anything, it's just that like the shelf life is the shortest, and that's been true for a long time. I mean, that's not like a new trend. I mean, it's just think about the punishment you take at the position.
Yeah.
And it's just such a revolving door. But running the football, I don't think it's gonna cycle back to the 70s. if you really want to entertain yourself, go on YouTube and go watch like a 1970s NFL game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's over with
quick.
Where
you might get like 17 pass attempts from a particular quarterback. Yeah. It's not going to go back to that, but running the football still matters and always, I believe, will matter. It's such a problem for teams that can't stop the run or that are getting run on by their opponent. I mean, balance still matters a ton. So the act of running the ball is going to be valued, but just the individuals, it's just a revolving door. But again, in football now, and this has already been happening, I mean, there are the best player, the best athlete, a lot of times used to just be like, you're going to be the running back. And now it's like, I think I'm going to go linebacker.
Yeah.
You know? I'm going to go corner. I'm going to go receiver. And I totally don't blame anybody for thinking that way. People who actually have legitimate opportunity to possibly be pro football players.
Preds defenseman Matthias Ekholm coming up at 9 o'clock here on the show. We'll get his thoughts on a big win last night for the Predators against the Minnesota Wild. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Stop by Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday, April 16th. Also, don't forget to check out their new sofas while you're in there. You must be 18 or older to enter the contest. No purchase necessary. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now, there are deals including half off for the Woodhouse Spa, the Mainstay Restaurant, Brooklyn Bowl. Plus, you can experience a 60-minute float session from Float Horizon for just $39.50. Check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caleb texting in says, Todd Gurley ruined it for the running backs. That Gurley contract was the one that bit the dust for the running backs. I think it was already starting to go the wrong way then anyway, but the Gurley one didn't help. Now, Henry got paid after Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Taylor's going to get paid at some point.
Yes. Gurley was cited a lot when Derrick Henry was up for a deal and when other running backs were too. Like, don't pay a running back, blah, 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 without actually seeing the importance Derrick Henry had to the Titans. It ended up being a great deal for the Titans to sign Derrick Henry and pay him. I mean, to me, that was a team-friendly deal. And even more so since the way he's played in the 2 years since. But, yeah, Todd Gurley, huge deal. And Todd Gurley was, I'd say, in the 2017 season, was probably like the best football player in the league.
Yeah.
And you get the big deal. But, yeah, you know, he. I mean, Todd Gurley also had What's that?
Brady won MVP that year, but yeah.
Well, of course he did, because, you know, it doesn't matter who's actually the best. Let's give it to Tom Brady. But Todd Gurley also was a guy who, it's pretty amazing that he performed like that ever in the NFL, given the injuries he already had at Georgia coming in. I mean, like, so he's an example of, you can be great and it can go like that because you get hurt and you get so banged up that position. And that's true, and that's how people view it, but you can also still have like a totally difference-making player at that position. Like, look at Alvin Kamara and what he has been for the Saints.
Steven on the text line says, talking about everyone being on the same page, Preds TV and radio should decide if it's the herd line or beast line. It's kind of silly having two names for the same line. This is coming from Steven from Antioch.
I mean, I think we need to rip Hal next time he's on.
Okay. That'd be tomorrow.
Fair warning. Because Kara Hammer came up with the herd line.
Correct.
That's it. It's over. And it's better than the beast line.
Like, you know how I feel about naming lines in general.
Okay. You hate naming lines, but you still have to pick herd line or beast line.
I'm going herd.
Yeah. Herd is just, it's just a cooler, sounds cooler. Beast line is, I think herd is just a little bit more unique. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Kara named herd line first.
I believe that's correct.
So what you don't need to try to improve on that, Hal. Also, I mean, if we're going to get into this, I mean, you know, Willie Donick and Pete Weber say the goaltenders name differently for the professional hockey team.
There is
in
that.
Fact, Hal and Pete Weber say it differently.
Yeah.
But you know, two people say Saros. Pete Weber and Paul McCann.
Yeah.
It's hard not to trust Pete Weber and Paul McCann the pronunciation of a player's name.
I know. And the thing is, like, if you
Why
ask,
can't we get on the same page
because
with this?
Because UC won't tell anybody. And he just says, yeah, whatever. It's fine. That's what, like, there's too many people in the NHL, like, yeah, okay, well, you can just call me whatever. Like, apparently Marty Erat here for a long time, like, it was actually pronounced Erat. It was Marty Erat. But he just, people called him Erat, and eventually, like, he was, like, 5 years in, I think maybe longer than that, 6 or 7 years in with the Preds, he's like, yeah, it's actually Erat. And like, I think for 2 weeks, people called him that, and he's like, yeah, you just go back to Erat.
That's Travis Kelce, too. It's actually Kels.
Yeah, apparently it is.
But everybody just went with Kelce, and he's like, yeah, I just never really felt like changing it.
Really? That's interesting. Well, I mean, Santiago Vescovi for 2 years,
yeah,
and then he finally told people, it's Vescovi. Okay, so everybody switched. So hockey players are too nice.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to call you UC Simonovich from now on, okay? Let's just totally go UC supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
There you go.
Okay, how about that?
Or you go Roger Goodell, Marcus Mariota.
Oh, God.
It's not even close.
Well, yeah, there's an example. He's not a hockey guy. He would fit in well, though. Like, it's okay, guys. Yeah. Don't call me with the wrong name. Well,
or boy, Cali Yarncroak.
Yeah, that was something.
Well, that's the thing. It's, you know, some of these names are very difficult, so it's understandable. But I think that we should come to a consensus in this city about what the goaltender's last name is.
I agree. Look, the pronunciation guy that I've gotten, it says Saros.
Right. No, I mean, they officially from the Predators, it's Saros. But again, Pete Weber, one of the great play-by-play announcers in sports, Saros. Paul McCann.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul McCann runs that place.
Yeah.
Saros. Why?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe we need to have an intervention and a little public forum on this. But actually, I mean, shouldn't we go to Justin Bradford?
Well, maybe he's the grand loon.
It's actually UC. What? Oh, okay. I'm actually going to text Justin.
Yeah, please do.
How the heck do you say his name?
Frank on the text line says, I'm actually glad the Preds have a hard schedule the rest of the way. Yesterday proved that. This team brings it against top teams and struggles mentally against teams they should beat. Also, I think Nashville is officially under Minnesota's skin. They've even tried fighting, and it didn't work. It's coming from Frank on the text line. So Frank taking the Chris Mason theory that he put out yesterday on the show that maybe the difficult schedule for the Predators is a good thing coming down the stretch.
Well, look, last night, and I know a little bit of it may have been Minnesota coming out and saying, hey, let's push these guys. Let's show these guys who's boss. But, I mean, I think last night was also, if the Preds are coming up on a big game against a really good team and maybe a red-hot team, division rival, but a team that, like, they feel like they've got to measure up to, they play well. They play better.
Jim on the text line says, call me anything but Sciatica on the text line. He actually spelled sciatica, but I'm just pronouncing it Sciatica.
Hey.
You think people are like still know that joke? We're coming up on a year anniversary of that joke.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have to celebrate in some way.
That wasn't year. That wasn't years
ago? It was not.
I sadly was not here yet.
It was not. got a text that says, yeah, I'm sorry, Travis Kelce. After a decade in the league, I'm not changing how I pronounce your name. I don't blame you. If you wanted to stop, if it's Travis Kelce and not Travis Kelce, you should have stopped that a long time ago.
Yeah,
dude.
It's over. You know, one of my favorite quarterbacks as a kid was Joe Theismann. The actual correct pronunciation is Joe Theismann, but when he was at Notre Dame trying to go for the Heisman, he changed it to Theismann for Heisman.
I mean, I kind of like that.
How about that? I do too. Like that's
sick.
Right, that's a really smart change of your last name. I mean, you guys should hear some of the names people have called me.
We're aware.
Yeah. Indy Ben on the text line, which I think is a good point. This is where being a run first team like Indy and the Titans, Indy Ben, give the Titans some love, has its advantages. Jonathan Taylor, without question, a lead offensive weapon. He's not getting paid like these top receivers. I agree. If you have a great running back, you can have a great weapon for, I mean, bargain basement value.
Sure.
Relative, especially more and more to receivers. But, you know, you also have to have receivers.
Joe Rule, remember that one? That was good. Was that the NHL press conference? Joe Rule.
Yes. Yeah, that was.
Get
it was
Rule out of Rex Road.
There's some good things out of Zoom. You know, the moderator in the NHL playoffs called me Joe Rule. Vrabel calling me a clown in the chat. There's some good things out of it.
Yep. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. Michelle Knezovic and the Question Share. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair today. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Michelle Knezovic, I turn things over to you.
Okay, guys, are we starting sports or non-sports?
Pronunciations. No, I'm just kidding. You got a lot of info on pronunciations, but sports.
Joe's flustered.
Sports.
Okay. In honor of Coach K retiring, and we all know the way that people feel about him, if there is one coach you will always root against, it can be any sport, but who is the one coach that just irks you? It doesn't matter what team they're playing against, you always have to root against them.
There's a couple different options I could go with here. My answer that I think I'm going to say, Joe probably won't agree with, but I'm going to say it anyway. Greg Popovich. Can't stand him. Cannot stand Greg Popovich. Now, that's probably mainly because the Heat played against the Spurs twice in a row in the finals, and I'm a big Miami Heat fan. But don't like Greg Popovich. I will always root against Greg Popovich. And the fact that they're bad now makes me happy. So Greg Popovich is my answer. I don't think he's like a bad guy or anything. I just don't like it.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, I disagree with you.
I know you would,
but you know he can be a little bit. He can be a little bit prickly. How about that? Is that word okay to use?
Ken Whisenhunt? Does that count?
Oh man, that's a thing. It's really hard because I feel like I'm gonna forget somebody. Gosh, it's a really tough question. I'm trying to think. Like, I mean, there's a lot of. I will say that
La Russa
over the. So we are talking active, right? Well, La Russa is. I mean,
it could be active or they could be retired.
Because one of one of my definite answers would definitely be Ozzie Guillen. Now this is again. This is a Tigers White Sox. I could not stand him. Just shut up. He was such a hothead. He was such a great player, too. But Ozzie Guillen would be one of those. But, like, currently going, who do you actively root against? I feel like I'm forgetting someone here. What's your answer?
Okay, well, Coach K is obviously my number one, but he's retired now, so we don't have to worry about that. Mine is actually Bruce Pearl.
Really?
He just really irks me, and as of recent, when I was in school, Auburn beat Kentucky to go to, I think it was the Final Four in 18-19, and just everything about him, he gets heated, and the fact that Auburn's been good and actually it's been a rivalry a little bit between them and Kentucky just makes me even more mad. So I'm going Bruce Pearl.
I think that's an underrated pick.
Got a lot of votes for Urban Meyer on the text.
Urban, yeah.
a lot of them.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, of course, now, we talked about it earlier on the show, will he ever coach again? So I think he would have been a great answer. I'd say coaches who are going now.
That's Izzo.
Well, we can't by the way.
Correspondent.
Yeah, we can't rip our own correspondent, okay? He's part of the show. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we have an Izzo Alyssa Milano segment later in the show. there's somebody in the NBA I'm not thinking of. Who am I forgetting?
I have no idea. Eric Spoelstra, you hate him?
I think I could take him. I think I could take him in a fight. Wait, what about in the NHL? See, I want to say Patty Roy, even though he's never coached. But if Pat, I wish he would coach because then I could root against him because I dislike him so much.
So Joe's going to choose about seven.
I'm completely botching this segment because I feel like I'm forgetting someone. Let me just go with Ozzie Guillen.
There you go.
Okay, can think of whoever throughout the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do non-sports. So in honor of, this is kind of sportsy, but more entertainment. In honor of the new Lakers show and the HBO series, which sports moment or era or team would you like to see kind of a remake of? I can go first so I can give you guys a minute, but I think it'd be really cool if they essentially did what they're doing with this Lakers series and did it with a Pat Summitt when Candace Parker was on the team, kind of go into her college career, and obviously they both have just incredible legacies. But I think it'd be really cool, like even that game where Pat Summitt sits Candace, she's a college kid because she didn't obey curfew and things like that. So that would be mine.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I think I might go Miami Heat again. I would the 4 years LeBron was in Miami, there's a lot that went down then. I would love to see like a series on that. Or, I mean, honestly, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but like Tiger Woods, the different amount of stuff you could do with Tiger Woods, like his career arc would be pretty incredible. Which I'm sure, I mean, some of that has already been put out, but there will be a big Tiger Woods thing one day when he's done playing golf.
That'd be pretty good. I'm going 80s Mets all the way.
There you go.
Give me the 80s Mets. Strawberry, Daryl Strawberry, Gooden, and Dykstra, and I just the absolute just bleep show that it was, while also being incredible, incredible baseball. I think that would be.
I'm sure Willie will love
doozy.
That one.
Yeah, oh yeah, that'd be a doozy.
Okay, back to sports.
Oh, wait. I have a different answer for my first one. Oh, Brian Kelly. Come on. It's Brian Kelly.
Okay.
I mean, that's his family. One. Yeah. Even before the family thing, I mean, Brian Kelly. Yes.
Under over, Joe has about four more answers through the rest of the show.
I'll take the over.
I got more.
Okay, back to sports. You're a Nashville sports fan. You can only pick one or the other. The Titans sign A.J. Brown to a big deal, or the Preds re-sign Forsberg. But you can only have one or the other.
And this is equally, because obviously some people might lean more toward one team than the other, but equally loving the teams. That's a good.
Two mutes for
that's
Rex
a good Red. One.
Man, this is tough. I think. Well, I was going to sit here and say that I would go A.J. Brown because it's been so difficult for the Titans to find a wide receiver like that. But it's been pretty darn difficult for the Predators to find a forward like Forsberg. Man, this is tough. I'll give the slight edge to A.J. Brown because I think A.J. Brown has a chance to become elite player in the NFL. I think Forsberg he's been elite this year. I don't know if he's like top five at his position good. I think A.J. Brown can be top five at his position good. So I'll go A.J. Brown.
I think you're right, but I guess I'm looking at it in terms of I mean, basically, if I'm an equal fan of both teams, I'm looking at it in terms of which signing gives that team the better chance of winning a championship at some point. And I think I'm going to go Forsberg. I think I'm going to – because I agree. I think, you know, if you want to go comparison of A.J. Brown, other receivers, Forsberg, and other forwards, A.J. Brown has an opportunity to be higher on that list at his position than Forsberg does in the NHL. But I think there's ingredients for the Preds that could be special if other good choices are made moving forward. But if you take Forsberg out of that, it's – you're just really starting over. So
yeah, this was a tough one for me too, and I see both sides of it. It's kind of what I was going back and forth on. I think I'm going to give the slight edge to Forsberg as well, because with AJ, he's still so young and the injuries have been very prevalent. We know that he can be an elite receiver, but it worries just investing that much money in somebody we haven't been able to consistently see it from. Okay, and finally, non-sports. This one I am so excited for. If you could be the voice of a fictional character cartoon, who would it be? Or what, I guess. Do you want me to go first?
So if you could be the – you would be the voice.
Well, I know what I want to – I know one that I want Joe to be the voice of. Does that count?
Okay. Sure.
First you go.
Okay, mine would be Dory from Finding Nemo.
Okay.
I think it'd be so fun to be like – just so goofy and behind the scenes and be her, because she's so random, and I just feel like I'd have a lot of fun with it.
That's a great movie and character.
Yeah.
Shout out Ellen DeGeneres. I mean, who's the voice of it.
I would really love for Joe to be the voice of Foghorn Leghorn, which he at times has been here on the program.
I'll say, Brian Kelly. That's all I got. I'll say, and then I just stop.
Maybe Elmer Fudd. I don't know. Maybe that's my choice. Elmer Fudd.
Be very, very quiet. Yeah. Do you know the Elmer Fudd reference? Michelle, you do? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That was impressive. Great.
I mean, for me, it's very simple. I mean, how much of college did I spend going,
You really bring sure it back
the
to that?
The radio listeners really enjoyed that.
Do you know what that is?
No.
You don't?
Oh, yeah.
You're scaring me.
That's Butthead. Yeah. Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead.
I can do an okay Beavis, too, but I much prefer Butthead.
It's appropriate.
And by the way, isn't that coming back? Am I?
It is probably is. I don't know.
I think that it's coming back. You got to get into Beavis and Butthead, Michelle. I mean,
are they really redoing that?
I think that they're, I think that
you should try out, Joe.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, it may fail, but man, so many good memories of that show. I mean, that was like must see TV in college. Like, we'd gather around the TV at 7 o'clock around MTV to watch Beavis and Butthead.
Hey, Beavis and Butthead.
A half hour of just stupid fart jokes watching videos, basically.
Justin from Nashville texting in says, Patrick Waugh did and still does coach, Joe. I think you were aware that Patrick Waugh was at one time a coach in the NHL. Yeah. Mute number
that
three.
That is three.
God dang it. And that is, and if he could be on... or on a bench right now, then that's the easy choice. Now, if Claude Lemieux could be on a bench, I think I actually hate Patty Roy more.
I just want to I would love to know, because we've gotten some texts like this before, how many people think that you're an idiot for calling him Patty Roy when his name's Patrick Waugh. Well, but you're doing this on purpose.
First time I did it, you're like, excuse me, Joe. Sorry, man, but it's Patrick Waugh. I mean, yeah, dude, I know
excuse
what his
me, Joe.
I know what his freaking name is supposed to be, and I call him Patty Roy. Later in the show, we'll have to get into Justin Bradford gave me the absolute detailed way to pronounce UC Soros' name. We don't have time now, but I think this is the final word on it.
Okay.
You could ask Matthias Ekholm when he comes on.
Maybe so.
Actually, I think I will.
Maybe that'll be what it is. This has been The Choice Is Yours, sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will be joined by Predators defenseman Matthias Ekholm. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.